Episode 57 was with Leon of Athens.
This one was over Zoom video, and he has a new single called Communication, and Portugal the Man did an awesome remix of it, so check it out.
Check out the video on our Facebook page and YouTube at Bringing It Backwards, and on Instagram and Twitter at Bringing Back Pod.
Follow us, please.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Leon of Athens.
I see you, Adam, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
I know it's late there. So, it's like midnight, right?
It's midnight. Yeah, it's the perfect time for a podcast.
That's awesome.
Are you based in New York?
San Diego. It was California, like LA.
San Diego, California. Yeah. Amazing.
Are you in Greece or are you in London?
I was in London. I was ready to fly to Texas for South by Southwest, and last minute it got canceled, as you know, and
sure.
I left immediately to go to Athens because that's where my family is, and I was thinking that it's gonna be a lockdown, so I left.
Yeah, quickly. That's smart. Yeah. I saw you're on like Shaky Knees and like a couple other festivals that unfortunately are postponed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that Shaky Knees lineup is awesome. That will be so cool to play that.
It is. I agree.
Yeah, Black Keys and
Smashing Pumpkins.
Smashing Pumpkins, yeah.
One of my favorite bands of all time.
Are they really? Smashing Pumpkins are?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So, did you grow up? You grew up in Greece.
I was born in London.
Oh, you were born in London. And okay.
Yeah, I was born in London. Yeah, but I moved to Greece like when I was one year old.
Oh, so you're very small. Okay.
And then I went back to London a few years ago.
Tell me about growing up in Athens.
Athens is I love Athens. First of all, you understand this from my name.
Sure, I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, you have some pride there.
it's a very special city. I love the weather. I love the people. The history, of course. Mm-hmm. And it has a very interesting underground scene, art scene and music scene. The weather is very similar to San Diego, by the way.
Oh, and really? Like warm and maybe, not too
much? Yeah, I'd say maybe a little bit closer to L.A.
Okay.
It's very similar to L.A. It's like identical, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's really good. Yeah, I mean, people move here for the weather.
Yeah, and when you get used to this weather, it's difficult to change. So when I moved to London, it was raining all the time. It was very different.
Really? I didn't know that it rains it rains a lot there in London.
Yeah. All the time, yeah.
I was wondering how you got into music originally. Were your parents into music? Did they play at all?
My mom is a dancer. So,
wow.
You know, in the arts, in the art world, since I was a child. And my dad was, he loved music, and we grew up listening to lots of music. Myself and my brother, and very, very, very good music. I'd say, you know, Beatles, Rolling Stones, Doors,
yeah,
all the good stuff.
Is your brother and you said you had a brother? Is he into music as well? Or does he play?
No. Completely different field. And he's based in America, by the way.
Oh, wow!
He's
what part?
Based in Virginia. Yeah.
Okay, East Coast. Virginia. Right on. Nice. Do you come out and see him very often,
exactly.
or not really?
Yeah. And we tour a lot in the U.S. Actually, we played in San Diego. We played with City of the Sun, a band called City of the Sun from New York. And we did a West Coast tour, and we also played in San Diego. I can't remember the venue, but yeah.
That's really cool. That's awesome. Yeah. So you got into music by listening to the early classic rock, Beatles, stones, doors, and all that stuff. What was the first? What was the first instrument you picked up?
The first instrument was piano, but then I switched to classical guitar.
Oh, okay. Do you still play piano?
Not really. Okay. I play the basics that I need to record some synthesizers, some synth bass lines. But my main instrument is the guitar.
Okay. So you picked up classical guitar, like finger picking and that whole thing. Wow. Yeah, that's one thing. Exactly. I mean, I can hammer out some power chords and stuff, but that finger picking and all that was just way too advanced for me.
Yeah. But that's all you need for
sure.
Pop and rock.
Right. So you picked up classical guitar. Were you trained, or was it all just on your own?
Yeah, I was trained. I was classically trained for a number of years. But it was great, and I love classical guitar and classical music. Classical guitar, the classical music was very, very helpful, you know, in understanding music. But I don't listen to classical music anymore. Sure. A lot, you know.
Yeah. Did you play in like talent shows or do recitals? Like, what was the first experience you had playing in front of people aside from, you know, at your house or friends?
Yeah, I did these recitals that the exams were, you know, to go to the next level, you had to play in a class with like 20 people, and it was like my hand was sweating. I was like, it was terrible, really terrible.
Yeah. Probably got you ready for, you know, what you're doing now as far as playing in front of crowds of thousands of people.
it's much better, trust me. It's much, much better. And obviously it's a different kind of music, but bigger crowds are, in my opinion, bigger crowds are easier.
Really? Why do you think that is?
Rooms.
Just because you could, if you screw up on note or something, it's just not as obvious, or what do you think?
No, not really. Because it's in small rooms, your inner world is really, really exposed, and that's a great thing, but it needs a lot of work.
Sure, yeah. Did you play in bands and stuff when you were learning classical guitar?
Yeah.
So what was your first band, and how old were you when you started it?
I started when I was 14, and I was always playing music in school. I was not a great student. I was writing lyrics, writing songs.
Oh, wow.
And
how old were you when you started doing that? 14?
14, but with our first shows, we started our first shows when I was 16.
Okay.
From 14, I started writing songs, basically. It was the first time I started writing songs, yeah.
So with this band, you guys, how long were you? You said you played, like, when you're 16, so your band are at least 2 years. How long did that band go on for?
For two more years after school. And the guys are my best friends, so we're still friends.
That's cool.
Afterwards, I started doing my own stuff.
Okay. And would you just play? Was there a lot of venues to play in Athens?
Yeah. We mostly played in school festivals and open air festivals, but we also played in venues. And our sound was inspired by an American, or I think they're American, not Canadian, a band called Propagandhi.
Oh, it's Propagandhi. Like, yeah. They're from Canada.
They're from Canada. Okay.
Yeah, they are from Canada. But all of their songs are really about pretty much political songs about America, which is funny. But yeah, they're a Canadian band, but they are signed to Fat Records from San Francisco. So that's cool. You sounded like Propagandhi. Exactly, How did you get into Propagandhi? That's kind of pretty much the polar opposite of what a classical guitarist would play, I would think.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Were you a fan of punk and stuff?
Back then, yes. Even more like emo punk stuff, like AFI.
Okay, yeah.
You know AFI. Yeah.
Yeah, AFI. I love AFI. Another Bay Area band.
we were in but also, you know, we loved Radiohead, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Joy Division.
Cool. Yeah, I love all those bands as well. And so you guys, but you had more of a punk rock, like Propaganda sound, you said?
Yeah.
Cool. And you'd play was that
guitar driven?
Yeah. Was it you guys are just playing locally in Athens at that point?
Yeah. We were playing locally. Yeah. And then after this, I started doing my own stuff, which was completely, completely different.
Uh-huh.
It was more kind of like Sufjan Stevens meets Beirut.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
In the beginning.
Singer, I can still kind of hear that now a little bit, the Sufjan Stevens stuff a little bit in your song.
Oh, yeah. I think he's one of the greatest songwriters of our generation.
Yeah. He's amazing.
He's a great songwriter. Yeah.
So
this last album that he wrote for his mother. Mm-hmm. Carrie and Lowell is a like a diamond. It's an amazing album.
Yeah. So you started. So when that band dissolved? Was it just, you know, kids going to school? Like your buddies went to school, university, or something? Like when the band disbanded, and then you started your own stuff. What was there a reason behind that, or you're just creatively wanted to try something new?
We all left for different places.
Okay.
different parts of the world, and I was always writing songs, you know. I was the songwriter of the band. And I continued with a different sound.
Yeah.
And then after this, I went to No, you know, I'm constantly changing my sound.
So when you first started your solo stuff, how did that, what was the first move for you? Did you have contacts with people? Were you playing out? Like, what did you do first? Did you record stuff?
I was recording and I was playing shows. I also had a band with many people. It was like a collective.
Mm-hmm.
We were nine. Actually, myself and eight more people.
Wow, a nine-piece band. Wow, that's big.
Yeah, nine-piece band. And all friends, all from Athens. And it was like a collective with brass. And I was signed to a Greek indie label called Archangel. And after this, I decided to make the move and go to London.
Okay. So you got signed to that label, the indie label, when you started putting out stuff with Leon of Athens.
Yeah, as Leon in the beginning, just Leon. And
just then, Leon in the beginning. Okay. And that Leon was with the nine piece? Then, was that with the nine piece band?
Exactly. Yeah.
And how did you
actually? I recorded this first the record the first record
Global.
They sent us to not Global, but before that it's a record called Food True, which is it's not under the Leon of Athens name.
Oh,
it's
sure, okay,
under a different name. And we went to Brooklyn and we worked with a producer named Josh Clark, who had produced the first Beirut record.
Wow.
And then, yeah. And then I went back to Athens, and then I made the move to London. And actually there was a crucial moment where a reporter of the New York Times was in Athens, and he was writing an article about the situation in Greece. Mm-hmm. And he happened to We had a sound check in a big, you know, like in a big outdoor space in Athens Central. So the public was just walking there, and he was there, and he listened to the lyrics of a song of mine, and he wrote an article about the situation in Athens, Greece, and he included the song and the lyrics, and
wow,
it was really you know, one of these moments that are very special, and that was one of the reasons that I decided to leave and go to London afterwards.
Oh, really? From that article, yeah, that was put out, and they put it out in, yeah, the New York, yeah, Times, yeah, yeah, or they put it out in Greece
in the New York Times.
Wow,
in the New York Times, yeah.
That's incredible.
It's an article called "Postcards from Athens," I think it's called.
Wow. What year was that? Do you remember?
To you later. It was 2013, I think.
Wow. Okay, that's incredible. And this is when you had the 9-piece band together and everything, or is this
exactly after? Yeah. That was then. Yeah.
Okay. So with this 9-piece, that's, you took all 9 of you guys came out to New York and recorded that record?
No. It was myself and two more people.
Okay. Was it mainly just, were you writing all the pieces and then all the other 8 people were just kind of, you know, players in the band? Was that kind of how you had it set up?
It was a collective work. You know, I was the songwriter. Mm-hmm. I was writing the lyrics and the main melodies, and then we did the instrumentations all together, and people were also writing their own parts.
Oh, okay. Very cool. And that's the band that got signed to the indie label?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then from there you decided to, you moved to London was that band still together, or did, was it kind of like you wanted to break off on your own, and that's how you started Leon of Athens?
Yeah, after this, I have to be absolutely honest about this. You know, the music industry, I was very, you know, romantic, and I wasn't thinking of the practical aspect of the music industry. A 9-piece band doesn't tour very easily.
Yeah, sure.
A lot of money, you know.
Yeah, I can imagine. And carting 9 people around it's not cheap.
It was just not possible, you know. We couldn't continue. And obviously the fact that I moved to London and was working there on new material, so I decided to create a new name, let's say Leon of Athens, and record new material and form a new band, which is now a 3-piece band.
Okay. So now it's just 3 pieces. And then so when you started that band, that's when you put out Global. That was your first record as Leon of Athens.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So you get to London, and how did you find the two other people that you jam with, and how did you kind of get yourself, like, how did you get your name out there in London?
So I had many friends in London, and when we went there and played, we played 2 shows, and we had a really good attendance in the shows. So I had interest from a UK-based management company.
Okay.
And I started working with them immediately when I moved there. And yeah. And then the first album after moving to London by the name Leon of Athens is Global.
Okay. So you moved to London, and then, yeah, that's when you formed Leon of Athens and you put out Global. So because you played the shows there already, you said you already had interest as far as management interest. And then, so you form your band, And how did Global come together? Did you already have all those songs and you just kind of taught them to the new people, or how did that happen?
So the story is the following. I had all the songs ready and finished, and we decided that we're going to work with a producer called Tony Dugan. He's mm-hmm. the producer of Belle and Sebastian. I don't know if you've heard this.
Oh, band. Yeah. Belle and Sebastian. Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. From Glasgow. And Tony works with a band called Wintersleep from Canada.
Okay. I haven't heard
really
them.
Nice.
Okay.
Indie rock band. Amazing. And he's also really, really good friends with Dave Friedman, who did the producer, the MGMT stuff, Tame Impala, mm-hmm. etc.
Yeah.
So we went to Dave's studio in Buffalo, New York.
Wow.
And we recorded Global there, and the people who played in Global were Wintersleep, the guitarist and the drummer from Wintersleep, and one of my best friends who was playing the bass. Ah, okay. Who happened to be one of the people of the school band when I started. He was living in London, and yeah.
Oh, wow, that's cool. So yeah. You're able to grab him and bring him to New York and record?
Wow. Exactly, yeah.
So he must have been pretty stoked about that, huh?
Oh, he was very much, yeah.
Okay, so you go out there, you record Global. Was that put out on a record label?
Yeah, this was afterwards, I forgot to mention that I was signed to EMI Universal in Greece.
And that was?
Also.
That was with which band? With Leon of Athens? That's when you got, or that was the previous band?
Yeah, Leon of Athens.
And how did you get approached by Universal? How did that work?
They they always they know their way.
Right, you know, right. I didn't know if you happened to run into somebody, and you know, if it was one of those situations where you happened to have a demo on you, or you were mailing them out to people, or how that worked out.
Oh, I definitely had. I was I've been always mailing my stuff and
to different record labels, cetera, and
yeah,
stuff.
To different record labels, yeah. And I was very lucky to work with a specific A&R in the company.
So that label brought you out to New York, and that's how you kind of set all that up with those producers and stuff.
Kind of. Okay. It's a complicated story, but yes, more or less.
Were you able to choose the producers you worked with? Did you kind of have like a wish list? How did you decide on who you worked with on that first Global record?
Tony was one of the people that I liked. I also, was it back then? I'm trying to remember. Yeah, actually, I also had a meeting with top of my list was John Conkleton, who's done St. Vincent and many records.
Okay.
Based in Dallas, great producer, and Tony was also one of the people that I wanted to work with, and yeah, and finally we did the record with Tony.
Okay.
And it was amazing.
So you put that album out, and then did you tour at that point as a three-piece? Or what were you doing as far as the shows went?
We toured as a four-piece, actually, back then. Mm-hmm. And at times, we were a five-piece as well. The three-piece was after this record. It's the last 2 years. When we started touring the U.S. and playing in the U.S., which I can tell you the story also how this happened.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it. Because you put out another record, Xenos, right? That one was like a couple years ago.
Yeah, that was 2018.
Okay.
Yeah. So I always wanted to play at South by Southwest and was applying many times and many rejections. In 2018, they invited me to play there, and that's how I met my manager.
Oh well, at South by Southwest.
Yeah, not there. Before this, mm-hmm. we started talking, and since then, you know, Eva is really amazing. The whole U.S. chapter opened after I met Eva.
Okay, and that was all before Xenos came out.
No, that was right after the same time.
Oh, right after.
Yeah, around the same time. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, right so. After. So from 2015 to 2018, were you just playing, like when you put out between Global and Xenos, were you only playing in Europe, or were you coming out this way?
Only playing in Europe. No, only playing in Europe.
Okay. And how were those?
My first show was Okeechobee in America before South by Southwest. South by Southwest and Okeechobee, these two festivals were my first. US.
Oh, okay. First US shows were two festivals, huh?
Yeah, two festivals in the South.
Oh, wow. How was that? Was that coming to America to play for the first time like that? Was that a shocking experience? Tell me about coming here for the first time.
First of all, it wasn't my first time in America because
you had recorded here, right?
Yeah, and also my father was Greek American, so we always had a bond, and we were traveling in the U.S.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. But it was my first experience in the South, and we did all the whole thing. We did from Florida to Texas driving.
Oh man!
And that was a very, very, very unique experience.
What made it unique? It was just different, totally different than what you're used to.
It was very different. It was very cinematic, I would say. These roads, straight roads, miles and miles of, you know.
Yeah.
And
like no mountains and stuff like that either, huh? It's just flat, right? For the most part down there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly flat. And like advertisements that I've never seen in my life before in Europe, like anti-abortion, guns, things that I don't want to judge, but you know, I hadn't seen them before in my life.
Right. Yeah. So it was just the different. First time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you put out Xenos in 2018. Where'd you record that record, and was that different? Like how'd you go into that album? Was it different than the Global record?
It was very different. Yeah, it was very different. I did it in London with a producer named David Costin. Mm-hmm. He's known for indie rock band called Everything, and he has also done the.
I know those guys. All right, I don't. Oh, you know them. I met them before, actually, and they came out here to San Diego, and they did like a studio session with my buddy, and
really?
I got a chance to meet them, and they had that record out with like the guy's hand on it going over his face. You know what I'm talking about?
That's a great record.
Wait, hang on real quick. I want to show it to you. 1 second.
Yeah. Please.
This one.
Oh, okay. So this one is, I think this is the last one.
Yeah.
Do you remember when?
When they did it a couple years ago. It had to be a couple years
Yeah,
ago.
Yeah, but maybe 3 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, they signed it for me and stuff. We got to watch them play.
Amazing.
They did a cool.
Yeah, they're a great band. I really like them.
I had never heard of them. My buddy was way into them, and they had a song out. I want to look at it now real quick. Oh, Distant Past. I heard that song and I was like, whoa, like this band is incredible. And they happened to be coming through. My friend booked them to do like a couple acoustic songs. So yeah. So you had their producer.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I love that. It's funny. I haven't heard that name in a couple of years. So that's really cool.
I hear this song, Distant Past. I hear it all the time because I'm playing the FIFA, the football.
Oh, FIFA the soccer game. Yeah. It is in there. Yeah. They always get really good artists in those sports games.
Yeah.
It's interesting how that works. Cool. So you worked with their producer and you said you went into this album totally different than Global.
Yeah, it was a totally different experience in the sense that we worked alone. We didn't work with a band. Just him and myself. And then we had some people record the drums and bass. But we did a lot of work in the studio, recording synths. I'd say that if I was to describe the difference between the two albums, I'd say that Global was more rock in the sense of a live rock band, and this one was more in the pop world, I would say.
Okay. And then now you just released another song called Communication. Mm-hmm. That's the most recent stuff you're doing now, correct?
Yeah, Communication is the most recent, and it was released a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
We wrote the song with David Sneddon and Katarine Duska, and she's also featuring.
Yeah, she features on the track, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And have you worked with her before? How did you link up?
Yeah, we've written a couple of songs together. A song called Better Love, which is her song. Mm-hmm. We also did a duet, a Greek song called Anemos, which means wind.
Oh, interesting.
And now Communication. And it's Katarine and David Sneddon.
Okay.
The writers. Myself, Katarine, David Sneddon. And we also have a remix coming up that Portugal the Man did for Communication.
Really?
Which is and it's so, so beautiful and so interesting. You know, it's nothing like what I expected. You know, I expected a beat or something, and it's a stripped down version, like very, you know, like focusing on the lyrics of the song.
Uh-huh. Wow, that's cool.
It was really an amazing gift. And I want to thank them very much. You know, I met them for the first time at Firefly Festival.
I was going to ask. So that's how you met them at Firefly. That's how you made the initial contact with those guys.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're amazing artists and amazing people.
Yeah. How did you get them? Did they just decide to remix it and send it to you and say, "Hey, we made this." Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, they're friends with my manager.
Okay,
longtime friends. They know each other for many years, and they like the song, and they put the time and the effort. And you know, I'm really, you know, I feel really lucky that we had this because they're very, very busy.
They're
also touring with Bernie Sanders.
Oh yeah, they
around
did
the
that.
U.S.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. that's really cool. I mean, they had the biggest song in the world a couple of years ago.
Absolutely.
I mean, Feel It Still was that was a massive hit across every platform, pretty much.
Yeah. It's like so cool. Like it was bigger than Justin Bieber and everything, you know.
Yeah, it was
number one ever.
It was the biggest song ever, which, yeah, and they deserve it. I mean, they had like five albums out prior to that record, and
absolutely,
they did catch the wave there, which is great for them, and they well deserved. So
it's really nice to see like artists of this like quality, you know, as mm-hmm. as people as well, doing well and having a like the appeal they have.
Totally. Yeah, I completely agree. So Communication is out. Do you have a record in your back pocket? Like, what are you gonna do with the new tracks?
It's gonna be part of an EP that I'm making now.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know when it's gonna be released yet, but I would guess it's gonna be the fall of 2020.
Okay. So
everything has moved, you know, the whole plan has changed a little bit.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, yeah, no one was expecting this. So,
you know, it's so funny. We've imagined all the craziest possible things, mm-hmm. you know, but personally, I've never imagined this.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It would have never in a million years ever have thought that it would get this to where it is now. Wild. But I did see that you've been doing some of those live sessions like from home, like living room session yeah. type things. And you had one yeah. was it yesterday or the day before?
Yeah, it was yesterday. I'm gonna do more. I'm gonna be doing this all the time now. The only problem is that I left my pedal board with all my pedals in London and my SPDS, the pad. But I have a couple of things here.
Very cool.
I think it's so nice, you know, it makes people happy, and this is what we need to be doing now as artists.
Yeah, totally. This whole thing is pretty wild. Do you have any advice for aspiring artists? It's kind of our last question, and you
want
to talk about anything.
I think this question is over. I don't want to be the person who tells other people, you know, what to do or what's the way to do it, because it's every person. Let me say this, that every person has their own, like, very, very, very unique story.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I can say is that, you know, there's no such thing as failure. You just keep trying, and the music industry, at least for me, has been like 99% no's and 1% yes. You
know? Yeah.